The difference between a free filter to keep spam off your phone and paying for that service. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Citigroup today became the first big bank of this earnings season to report profits for spring into summer. It did just fine, with profits up 7% from this time last year, yet its stock is down 1.5%. As quarterly corporate results start coming pell-mell in the next few days, many companies will be factoring in China and the U.S.-China trade war in their forecasts. China today reported slower economic growth for that second quarter. On Mondays, we check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi there.
Good morning.
Well, if I wanted to be lurid, I could point out that China's gross domestic product grew by its slowest rate in 30 years, we learned overnight. But bring some context to this, please.
Well, so the Chinese GDP came in as expected. We're expecting China to grow slower. It's a maturing economy. The real question, though, for markets is whether it's going to continue to slow or to stabilize. And on that front, the data for June actually came in a little bit better than expected, suggesting that the momentum is, in fact, stabilizing, and that's good news.
And we are in the midst of earnings season, getting a lot of bank profits and losses out this week, starting with Citigroup this morning. I mean, companies are looking to the condition of China when trying to make their own forecasts.
Absolutely. China has been the growth engine for the global economy, and a lot of companies have U.S. companies have profited off of that. So which direction the Chinese economy goes in has a big impact on earnings and earnings guidance over the next couple of years.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, always good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
The Federal Communications Commission voted in June to let mobile carriers block spam phone calls by default, even when consumers have not opted in to call blocking. What the FCC did not do was mandate that such services be free. Now AT&T is the first out of the gate with an expanded call blocking feature that will eventually be included on all of its phone lines. But as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, if you want a more capable version of that call blocker, you may have to pay for it.
The free version of AT&T's Call Protect will alert customers that a call is suspected spam. From there, users have to manually block the call or send it to their voicemail. Dan Feldstein is an AT&T spokesperson.
This is about giving our customers what they want. Unwanted robocalls is nothing that anyone wants.
AT&T is charging $4 a month for a more robust version of its call blocker. Customers who pay can have their spam calls blocked automatically. No work on their end. Democratic FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel says her agency didn't do enough for consumers. She says the FCC should have blocked carriers from charging for robocall blocking.
I appreciate that they're thinking about what they can make available free for consumers. But my bottom line is consumers didn't cause this stuff. They shouldn't have to pay to clean it up.
Americans have endured more than 25 billion spam calls in the first 6 months of this year, according to call monitoring service Hiya. AT&T will be rolling out Call Protect in the coming months. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
People involved in business, money, and markets like to preach the long-term view, but often corporations and market participants have attention spans that resemble that of an impulsive calico cat. Nimbleness can be a virtue, but worrying about today, not tomorrow, can lead to destructive outcomes, from climate change to unnecessary layoffs. Veteran business reporter Bethany McLean is one of the two reporters who broke the Enron story all those years ago. She has a new podcast discussing business matters called Making a Killing from an outfit called Luminary. Its latest episode focuses on short-termism. She joined me here in the New York Bureau. Bethany, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So, as a matter of personal finance, we're supposed to take the long-term view. I mean, that's hard. Corporate America can't even get it right.
People have been arguing against this phenomenon known as short-termism literally for decades. This idea that if businesses only focused on the long-term, the economy would be so much healthier and a lot of the malfeasance that afflicts corporate America just wouldn't happen.
All right, so it's important, but at some level, you worry that it's like tilting at windmills or howling at the moon. It's this almost a law of physics that publicly traded companies in particular worry about today and this quarter and maybe next quarter?
Well, it is a balancing act, right? Because it's true that a company could justify all manner of anything by saying this is all about the long term, right? But when all these surveys that have been done of CEOs and CFOs show that they're not doing things they would otherwise do because they feel such pressure to make the numbers every quarter, and they feel such pressure to make the numbers every quarter because their high-paying jobs are at stake. Because if they don't make the numbers, then the board and activist investors will get rid of them and find somebody else who will. So there's also this other cost to it that we don't even see but is huge nonetheless, which is the investments that aren't being made, the things that aren't being done, the jobs that are being lost because executives want to make the quarterly numbers.
So you think jobs are lost with that kind of short-term view?
I absolutely do. I think that people are laid off, employees are laid off in order to cut costs. And there's this kind of deep-seated irony here in that, you know, private equity may take over ownership of a firm and promise to streamline it. They lay off the employees in order to help the company make its quarterly numbers and be more profitable. And those same employees who are laid off, it's their pension savings that are invested with private equity firms that are enabling this whole crazy circle. And it doesn't seem like anybody steps back and thinks about it from a holistic point of view.
You know, there are some people listening who actually are investors themselves, even individual investors, and, you know, buy and hold for a really long time. It's not always the most, it's not the most scintillating. It is what you're advised very often, but that's not often people's impulse.
You know, that's a fair point. There's that old saying, right? We get the government we deserve. Maybe we get the stock market we deserve too.
Bethany McLean takes a deep dive into short-termism as just one of the episodes of her new podcast, Making a Killing. Bethany, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.